Owning the Gospel. That's the title I have chosen for this sermon. Owning the Gospel. Now, I forewarn you, this is not going to be a sermon whereby you just sit and perhaps sleep or just listen, because I want your feedback. You need to participate actively, as you participated actively in the prayer earlier. Owning the Gospel. Three words. First word, I am asking of you, when you hear the word gospel, what does it mean to you? Okay, I'm not passing the microphone, but I encourage you to speak up and I will repeat your words. Try to put it as succinctly as possible, but what to you is the gospel? What is the gospel? I see you. Good news? But what good news is it? Jesus Christ? Well, what about Jesus Christ? He came for us. What else? What is the gospel? The Word of God. Let me keep going. What is the gospel? The truth. What is the gospel? You can talk about the content of it. What is the gospel? What? Life in heaven. What is the gospel? I'm going to ask this over and over again until you respond. You got it? What is the gospel?
Jesus died for us.
What is the gospel? You getting uncomfortable yet? What is the gospel?
He rose again.
What is the gospel?
Our salvation.
What is the gospel? God's message to us. What is that message, Gary? You getting uncomfortable yet? What is the message? What is the gospel?
There is hope beyond today.
There is hope beyond today. I heard what?
Eternal life.
Eternal life? Keep going. Come on. Okay, there's such a thing called being born from above, being born again. Okay, you uncomfortable yet? What is the gospel? Accepting, receiving the gospel. What is the gospel? This is difficult, isn't it? It is a difficult task. What? God's teachings? Okay, I won't leave you out on the line too long. But I'm not going to stand up here and say, okay, you said this, but what it really is this. Because that's not the truth. The truth is the gospel is larger than our ability to speak about it. I mean, that's why, in some ways, why we had a difficult time saying it, right? And there are various voices in the New Testament being the place where we hear the good news, the place where we hear the gospel of Christ. There are many voices that speak out. And we have listed some of them when we heard that voice about being born from above. That's the voice from the gospel of. Where do we hear that? Anyone? Which gospel is it that speaks of? What? Of course, you would say it, John. The Gospel of John. And there it is talking about, you know, how this is not something, and it's not good news that is just, you know, leaning we get from tradition or get from somebody else. This is good news that is a sense of new life and new birth from God. Okay, not a first birth, but a second birth. But that's in John's gospel. And John had a succinct statement about the gospel. Can anybody say that statement? You know, if I use the numbers 3:16, anybody know what I'm saying? What is it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That is John's statement of the gospel. Okay? But there are other ways of speaking that. As I said, the gospel is far bigger. The good news is larger than what can be contained in our all too meager words. But they somehow involve God and Christ and giving and receiving and life and not death, hope and peace, new beginnings. Now, we have leaned into the Apostle Paul, who was but one voice in the New Testament seeking to convey this good news. In fact, the Apostle Paul had once upon a time, as was revealed in this particular scripture, had once upon a time been one who was trying to stamp good news out. Of course, he wouldn't have said it in those terms at the time. He was trying to uphold tradition. He was raised, you know, and learned the ways of God as revealed through Moses. And he saw as a threat this movement, this Jesus movement, and he sought to stamp it out. He was about as anti as you can get. But along the way, something happened. And something else was revealed to him on a road to Damascus. And God about faced him and pointed him in a whole new direction. Whereas before, the threat he perceived was that, well, the inside message of the gospel, of the law, the Torah of God, the inside message which had been passed down from generation to generation was in danger of getting ciphered out into the surrounding cultures and lost. And that was what he was most against. But God took that very thing and aimed him not inside Judaism, but aimed him outside to those who had not been raised in that culture known as Judaism, in that tradition. And he became the apostle, in his own words, to the Gentiles. And the gospel that he portrayed, though, was that he conveyed was so very Jewish in many of its ways. If I can concisely state it for him, it was that the law itself was a blessing. The law came and it told of God's ways and what God wanted for this world. But the major problem with the law was that when it was brought forth, it created a status point. It created a boundary that none of us could keep in. You know, to know the law is to understand how easily it is to live outside the law of God. The law, in fact, showed us, and the Apostle Paul would say this over and over again, that the law reveals to us that we are sinners, that there is absolutely no way that we can live up to this impossible ideal. And that with the law out there, what God requires, that the ultimate response of that is that the law leads into sin. Because as surely as a child, when you tell that child, do not do this, what is the very thing that that child wants to do? That thing, right. So the law leads into sin, and sin leads into death. In fact, Paul would call it kind of, if I could paraphrase him, a downward spiral. And what he perceived God is doing in his life is to break that downward cycle with the good news that Jesus, as surely as Moses was sent by God into Egypt to break the cycle of slavery, that Jesus was sent, the slavery to Pharaoh, Jesus was sent to break the cycle of slavery to sin and point in whole new directions. And the gospel is how God upends everything. Now, in the upending that happened in the book of Exodus, you know, there was Moses, if you recall in the book of Exodus, Moses went to Pharaoh and Moses stood and sent all sorts of plagues, you know, as he thing. And none of these plagues seemed to work until that final Passover plague. Do you recall it? In the Passover plague, the angel of death was sent, and the homes that were painted with the blood of a lamb were passed over, and that's where we get that word Passover. But the homes that did not have the blood of the lamb, which was the sign of the covenant, there the firstborn were killed. In the gospel, you have a remarkable thing whereby there is a lamb. But the lamb, if we believe in the Trinity, if we believe that Jesus is God, you know, as the Gospel of John says, in the beginning was God, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that Jesus, whom we say is the Word, if indeed Jesus and God are one and the same, just as the Holy Spirit is the same, that God took on Himself in that lamb. Jesus was the lamb and took on sin upon Himself to break the cycle, the downward cycle that leads to death. And all too inadequately, I've tried to explain Paul's understanding of the gospel. The gospel is indeed good news. And when we seek to be people of good news or evangelists, and evangel means simply good news, we are ones who are supposed to be lifting up good news and not bad news. Okay. We have in our mind what gospel may mean. And I have not exhausted that word by any manner of means. But I entitled my sermon, Owning the Gospel. What does it mean to own something? Okay, you've been through this. Owning the gospel. What does it mean to own something? Anyone? Possession. Live it. Anyone? Responsibility for it. What? Acquire knowledge. Okay. What? Believe it. Controlling it. Oh. Okay. Others? Pass it on. Okay, it may be some presumptuous to use that word owning in relation to gospel, because owning itself has some good meanings and some not so good meanings, right? I recall a poem, and I was going to pull it out before I came and I forgot. My uncle Pete, yes, I did have an Uncle Pete, wrote a poem one time about a neighbor or neighbors who would talk about their property, their land. This is my place. And he said, how can you call it your place? And then he asked all sorts of questions. Did you plow it? Did you plant it? Did you do this? Did you do this? And this and this to care for the land? Did you do all of these things? You know, and it's the long list and it's a poem. And he says, well, you know, how can you say you own it? You know, that it's yours if you don't put your very blood into it. Now, we've got some interesting understandings of ownership in our culture. We respect private property. Do you recall, you've seen enough Westerns and other other movies, of, you know, kind of the shift that was taking place in our very continent when Europeans settled and moved west and encountered another culture, the Native American culture, who had a very different understanding of ownership. When Europeans came to the land, they sought to get title to the land, get a piece of paper that would say that it was theirs, so that they could claim it as their own. And then they would put up a fence around it. And, you know, sometimes if too many people got close and started living nearby, they'd pick up stakes and move further away. But there's that sense of ownership of the land that was very different from the understanding of those who had come from this particular land. Their understanding of ownership was not that, you know, anybody specifically owns the land in that sense. For the land belongs to all who dwell in it, right? You've watched the movies. That it belongs not only to humans, but to all the creatures that dwell therein. You know, looking up to the Great Spirit who created them all. You had a clash between different understandings of ownership. Now, when I use the phrase owning the gospel, I do not mean in the sense that it is mine and you can't have it. That it is mine and I have drawn a fence around it and it belongs here, not there. Do you get what I'm saying? What I'm saying, ownership is not. But if we do not own the gospel, how can we live it? There is a sense of ownership that involves, what were some of the words we used? Responsibility, that involved sharing, that involved putting your very sweat and blood into it, to be passionate. Remember that word I used in the children's story? Being passionate about it. How come we never, well, I know why we never, because we're respectful people, but okay, when we come to church, why don't we cheer like we do at Camden Yards? Well, because that's not worship, but do you get what I'm saying? Do we care passionately about the gospel? Do we care about the outcomes? Do we care about those around us? Do we care enough to share? To speak it, to share it. I mean, not speak it in a way that controls the gospel. And I think that word, we know that owning the gospel doesn't mean controlling it. Because first and foremost, God cannot be controlled. If anything, to try to control God is to break some of the first command, second and third commandments, you know, that were passed down to Moses. God is not controlling us. And we are not trying to control God. But God is leading us to freedom in Christ. And there is responsibility there. And there's also salvation there. There is liberation. There is peace. There is hope. There is a kingdom that we are aiming towards. There is a heaven towards which we are moving. We are following Jesus in this. There is a sense of being born into something that is more than just human, but is at the same time very, very human. Human as it was meant to be. Do we own the gospel in the good sense of ownership? And that's my invitation to you, to own the gospel. Don't be afraid of it. Own it. Live it. Be it. You know, when Christ calls us to follow Him into life, that's not, yes, there's some scary aspects of it for where it might lead. but it is also something that frees us up to more fully be the persons God created us to be. Let's own the gospel.